Well, how's everybody doing this morning? We're going to talk about an important topic this morning. It's called money. Hard thing to talk about, huh? But anyway, as we get started, I want you to do something for me. Imagine for a moment that you are given a treasure map. The map promises to lead you to a vast fortune, something that would change your life forever. Most people would eagerly follow the map, taking careful steps to ensure that they've reached the treasure. Now, imagine if along the way, you start collecting little trinkets and coins, hoarding them so much that you eventually forgot about the treasure at the end of the journey. This, in many ways, reflects how we often handle money and our possessions. We begin with a desire for provision and security, but somewhere along the way, wealth becomes our master rather than our servant. Jesus spoke often about money because he knew the power it could have over our hearts. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24, and Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21, he gives us clear instructions about the dangers of wealth, the responsibility of stewardship, and the call to invest in eternal treasures. Today, we're going to examine these passages and explore how our priorities are revealed in the way that we handle money and possessions. Before we dive into today's message, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 24. And at the same time, I don't know if you guys got this in your Bibles, but I've got like two little deals, so I can just go straight directly to both the passages. But if you don't have, you could put like a piece of paper or a bookmark on the other passage. So Matthew 6, 19 to 24. And then the other one is Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And let's hear directly from the words of Jesus. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to start in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. This is appropriately titled Treasures in Heaven. At least in my Bible, that's the way it says it. Okay. So, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Beginning of verse 16. And he told them this parable. This is Jesus speaking. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which gives us wisdom and direction. Help us today to examine our hearts and align our priorities with your kingdom. Show us the dangers of materialism, the responsibility of stewardship, and the joy of eternal investment. May we leave here not just informed, but transformed with hearts that are fully surrendered to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. So as we just prayed, our desire today is to have hearts that are fully surrendered to God. And one of the biggest challenges to that surrender is how we view money and possessions. Jesus knew that what we treasure reveals the true condition of our hearts. That's why he spoke so directly about wealth. Not because it's inherently bad, but because it so easily competes for our devotion. So as we begin today's message, let's first consider Jesus' warning about the danger of materialism and how wealth, when unchecked, can become our master rather than our servant. Jesus warns us in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24, about storing up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. He makes it clear that earthly wealth is temporary. It's temporary, right? Can you take it with you? Are you going to be wealthy when you leave this earth? Well, I will be wealthy when I'm with him. That's what I'm looking at, is when I'm with him, then I'm going to have the wealth that I need. Okay? We can't take our money with us. We can't take our possessions with us. Why? Jesus said it very clearly. Moth and rust will destroy. See, yeah, we live in a world that constantly tells us to chase more. You got to get more. Right? More money. Bigger houses, bigger cars, fancier cars, nice clothes, right? More security. That's what they say, right? You got all that, then you're secure. Our culture equates success with material gain. And this perspective can subtly shape our hearts to value possessions over our spiritual priorities. This challenge is not that wealth is itself sinful, but that it can easily consume our affections, drawing us away from God. Now, the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, verses 16 to 21, serves as a stark warning. This man had an abundance of wealth, so much that he built bigger barns to store it all. We see that today, don't we? You got too much? Go over to the U-Haul storage area and rent yourself a garage or a storage unit, right? Yeah, you want to get over there and pack all your stuff in there. Never mind that you may have a garage and maybe a storage shed in your house, but then you got this storage shed that you're paying for a monthly basis, right? See, his focus was entirely on himself, his comfort, his security, his future. He never considered how he could use his wealth to bless others or further God's kingdom. Tragically, his life ended that very night, and all his riches meant absolutely nothing. Jesus calls him a fool because he was rich in possessions, but poor when it came to God. The pursuit of material wealth can blind us to spiritual poverty. When we become preoccupied with acquiring more, we often neglect the deeper needs of our soul. Money and possessions can create an illusion of security, but they can never truly satisfy the hunger within us. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6:24 that we cannot serve both God and money. If our love for wealth takes precedence, it will inevitably pull us away from wholehearted devotion to God. Now, John Wesley, he lived by a simple financial principle. And I've said this before. I love this quote. That's why I use it often. Gain all you can. Gain all you can. Save all you can. Give all you can. He understood that wealth was a tool, not a treasure. Though he earned a substantial income through his published works, he chose to live on a modest sum, and he gave the rest away. His life reflected an eternal perspective, one that valued kingdom impact over earthly accumulation. This principle challenges us to evaluate our financial habits. Are we using money to serve God's purposes, or are we serving money itself? Randy Alcorn, he wrote a book called The Treasure Principle. He puts it this way: God owns everything. I'm his money manager, he says. We are the managers of the assets God has entrusted, not given to us. When we see wealth as a stewardship rather than ownership, it shifts our perspective. We become more willing to let go, to invest in eternal things, and to trust God with our future. But if money and possessions do not truly belong to us, then what is our responsibility? This brings me to the second point, the call to stewardship. Everything that we have belongs to God. Everything. Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Challenges us to think differently about our possessions. He warns against storing up treasures on earth, where they will eventually decay or be stolen. Instead, he calls us to recognize that everything we have belongs to God and should be used for his glory. The parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12 reinforces this. The man thought his wealth was his own to use as he pleased. He never considered that he was merely a steward of God's resources. Psalm 24:1 reminds us, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Let me read that again. This is in the Bible. Look it up. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Everything is his, including you and me. Right? True stewardship means handling money with the understanding that it's not ours to hoard, but to manage for God's purposes. One historical example of godly stewardship is a guy named R.G. Letourneau. Anybody ever heard of him? Well, he had a big hand in building the Alaska Highway. His equipment that he invented was used to help build the Alaska Highway. So he was a businessman. And when I talk about he revolutionized the construction industry, it's more of, you know, move those dirt movers, those big, huge trucks and things like that. He also was very much into the offshore drilling and the different rigs that they use for that type stuff. I'm not really into that stuff, so I'm just kind of looked it up. He practiced radical generosity. I mean, this guy was rich, but he practiced radical generosity. Eventually giving away, get this, 90% of his income and living on just 10%. He said, I shovel it out and God shovels it back, but God has a bigger shovel. His life demonstrated that when we trust God with our resources, what we have, he provides abundantly. Jesus' words in Matthew 6:21 are key. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we struggle with generosity, it is often a sign that our hearts are not fully surrendered to God. Our giving is a reflection of our priorities. Do we see ourselves as owners or as managers of God's wealth? At the heart of stewardship is the deeper call to full surrender. In the Nazarene Church, we believe in entire sanctification. Many of you have heard that word before, that term. It's the complete consecration of our lives to God, where we no longer hold anything back, but give him full control. This is not just about avoiding sin. It's about being wholly devoted to God in every aspect of life. Every aspect. If we say we trust God with our souls, then we must also trust him with our resources. Amen? Let me further explain entire sanctification to you with this illustration. Imagine inviting Jesus into your home. At first, he stays in the living room where everything looks nice. But as he walks throughout the house, he sees locked doors, hidden rooms we don't want to open. Entire sanctification happens when we hand him the keys to every room, giving him full access to cleanse and transform every part of our lives. Jesus doesn't just want part of us. He wants all of us, every part of us. Entire sanctification is when we surrender every area of our lives to him, holding nothing back. Surrendering our finances is a part of the greater journey of holiness. Money has a unique way of testing our hearts. Do we truly trust God to provide? Or do we cling to our possessions out of fear and self-sufficiency? Entire sanctification means yielding every area of our lives, including our finances, to God's authority. It is saying, Lord, my money, my possessions, my future, all of it belongs to you. Use it for your glory. John Wesley embodied this principle when he preached and lived by the words. Those same words that I said a minute ago, gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. His commitment to radical generosity was not just about wise financial habits, but about a heart that was fully yielded to God. True sanctification means we hold nothing back. We hold absolutely nothing back. Not our dreams, not our desires, and certainly not our wealth. So as we consider how we handle money and possessions, we must ask, have we fully surrendered this area of our lives to God? Or are we still trying to keep part of it under our control? Have we not handed over all the keys to our house? And once we understand that everything belongs to God, we must ask, how should we use what he has given us? This leads us to our final point. The eternal investment. Store up treasures in heaven, not just on earth. Jesus' command in Matthew 6:20 is clear. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Unlike earthly wealth, which fades away, heavenly treasures last forever. But what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? It means investing in what has eternal value. Our relationship with God. Acts of love and mercy. And advancing his kingdom. The question is not whether we're investing, but where are we investing? Every financial decision we make is a reflection of what we truly value. The rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22 illustrates this principle. He was a man who had kept the commandments, but was unwilling to let go of his wealth when Jesus asked him to sell his possessions and give to the poor. His sorrowful departure revealed that his true treasure was his material wealth, not eternal life. This account challenges us. If Jesus asks us to give everything away, would we do it? Think about that. If Jesus came up to you today and asked you to give everything that you had or have away, would you do it? Do we trust him enough to believe that investing in his kingdom is far greater than hoarding wealth for ourselves? That author, Randy Alcorn, who wrote The Treasure Principle, he puts it this way. Live for the line, not for the dot. Live for the line, not for the dot. Now, the dot represents our short time on earth. We were talking about that this morning. It's nothing but a breath. It's nothing but a breath. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Did you know that? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So you're asking, what does the line mean? Well, the line represents eternity. If we live only for material gain, we are investing in something that will perish. But when we pour into God's work through giving, through serving, and stewarding wisely, we invest in something that will never fade. This perspective frees us from the anxiety of financial accumulation and redirects our hearts toward eternal significance. So how do we begin storing up treasures in heaven? How do we do that? First, we prioritize generosity. Giving should not be an afterthought, but a joyful act of worship. God loves a cheerful giver. I just prayed that. Amen? He loves a cheerful giver. Second, we align our finances with kingdom priorities. Supporting missionaries, helping those in need, and resourcing the church for ministry. I don't know how many of you know this, but we have a ministry here of helping to feed the homeless youth in our community. The food that we purchase is not from church money. It's from people like you and I who give. There are people that bring in the groceries that we need. They'll go to Costco and buy it, bring it in, and then we put it in bags, deliver it to the Terry Miller Park. There's a closet, food closet type deal, and there's 8 bags that go in it every week. We have the third Friday of every month. There are other people, other organizations that have other Fridays, but we just do one Friday, third Friday of every month. So that's a way that you can give back. So, and lastly, we trust God with our provisions, knowing that He is the ultimate provider. When we live this way, we find that our hearts are no longer tied to material possessions, but securely anchored in Christ. Jesus makes it clear that what we treasure reveals where our hearts truly are. If our trust is in earthly wealth, our hearts will be tied to things that will inevitably fade away. But if our trust is in God, we will invest in what lasts forever. This truth challenges us to evaluate our priorities. At the end of the day, it all comes down to one fundamental question. Who owns your heart? Who owns your heart? Is it God or is it your possessions? Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money in Matthew 6, verse 24. We must make a choice. Will we hold tightly to the temporary wealth, or will we open our hands and entrust everything to the Lord? As we come to the conclusion of today's message, let's take a moment to reflect on our own hearts and how we are handling the resources that God has entrusted to us. The way we handle money reveals who truly owns our hearts. Jesus calls us to reject materialism, embrace stewardship, and invest in eternity. The rich fool, he teaches us that wealth without God is meaningless. While faithful stewards like John Wesley and R.G. Letourneau show us the joy of generosity. Today, let's examine our financial habits. Are we using our wealth for God's glory, or are we hoarding it for ourselves? Are we serving God or money? Let's surrender our hearts to Christ and live with eternity in mind. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, help us to be faithful stewards. Free us from the grip of materialism and teach us to invest in what truly matters. May our hearts be fully devoted to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming. Have a blessed week. Go with Jesus.